part one. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 105 ad hoc.
Ad hoc 105, John.
No doubt. It's always an ad hoc now, isn't it?
It is, because we missed a lot of shows, John. We had we had Festivus Titanus.
Yeah.
That was a little more stressful than it needed to be because of that whole private party crap.
Yeah.
And then I went away because I had to recuperate, so I was gone for a weekend. Then this last Sunday, you were taken ill, John, and you're still not feeling well.
You had to recuperate from what?
From the stress of Festivus Titanus.
You big pussy. You didn't do anything all week except cry about how tired you were.
That's from my gluten intolerance.
Don't tell me how to do it. I'm so tired. I can't stop yawning. I got to go home and touch my pee-pee. Holy fuck.
So we missed a couple of shows. So it's a Tuesday night, John. I don't think we've ever done a show on a Tuesday night, have we?
Not in
first
a long time.
Ever
first
on a
ever.
Tuesday night.
But we are at the studio,
we are
away
at the studio.
From the home studio, which is getting new carpeting, Scott.
Nice.
Just had the guy over today. Check it out for new carpeting.
That's hot, John.
As soon as I paint the room, we'll be back at the home studio and then eventually moving, hopefully, the band over there.
So I found out.
More fucking rent.
I was watching VH1 for some reason. They had the life story of Paris Hilton, and they managed to squeeze 2 hours out of that. But anyway, what I found out was That's Hot is trademarked by Paris Hilton. So she can come after us for me saying That's Hot.
Whoa. No doubt.
No doubt, John.
I got some new backing music, man.
It's out of sight.
From Mr. Bungle.
Mr. Bungle. That sounds familiar, Mr. Bungle. So, John, we missed a couple of shows, but Festivus Titanus was just all that it could have been.
I thought it was great.
It was fan-fucking-tastic.
It was great.
We had Pauly B showed up. I picked him up on Friday or Saturday. I can't remember. Friday. Tony Hearn was there. Stefan C., the great Stefan C. Hey, guess who wasn't there, though? Air out my shorts. Preston Buttons and the Word Whore. No big surprise there.
Yeah. Hello.
We had some fans show up, even though it was a private party, and they had to give tetanus to get in.
Right.
Give tetanus?
Can give tetanus.
You give tetanus?
You had to pass some tetanus along.
Stefan C. and Tony Hearn both had video cameras.
Yeah.
They took some footage. Stefan C. is going to try to get that over to us as quickly as possible, as soon as that is available. We will post that on our website. Some of the stuff that Stefan C. has is all of the performance.
Right.
Of the great Pauly B. and Tony Hearn. With John and Scott.
It's out of sight.
What is that band called?
It's going to be fan-fucking-tastic.
The Chavs?
The Chavs.
So what happened is we had to shorten up our set, and we had to play from 8 to 11. And so we said, well, let's just play two long sets at the beginning of the second set.
That was like a month ago, right?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. At the beginning of the second set, we'll have Pauly B. and Tony Hearn come up. And that's not what Rick decided. I guess Rick decided something else.
Right.
So Rick plays the entire second set, and Pauly B. and Tony are starting to get steamed.
They're fuming.
Well, that's one of the observations I made in the United States. When you say pissed, I'm really pissed, John.
That means
you're
drunk.
I'm fucking upset. But
in the UK, you're drunk.
Means you're drunk. So they were getting pissed and pissed. You know what I'm saying, John?
They were getting pissed and pissed, and they were taking the piss out of us.
And they were.
Which means they're giving a shit.
And then finally, Rick lets Pauly B. and Tony Hearn on stage. And Tony was so pissed.
Great.
Tony was so pissed that he strummed the guitar and the E string
got caught under the
fell off the bridge and got caught,
caught under the
A string or something.
Yeah. So it's like.
So the first first song we try to play is
right at the end of the song too. It's like. You know?
No, we stopped him before we started playing. Well, we started. He started playing "Blister in the Sun," I think it was. And you and I looked at each other like,
"What the fuck,
what the fuck is he playing?" And we had him stop. Hey, man, stop! Because he was oblivious. He did not know.
He was having a great time.
He was just going through the motions at that point. So we got his E string corrected.
He had a cool shirt.
And we ran through three songs. "Blister in the Sun," which Tony sang. Then Pauly B came up and sang "Should I Stay or Should I Go?" And ended the evening with "Too Drunk to Fuck."
Yeah. He started out saying "Too Drunk to Shag."
Too drunk and to then, shag.
Because he was worried it was going to not go over well. That's what I like about Pauly B. He could come off as a big ass, but he's very polite.
When does he ever come off like a big ass, John? Come on.
When he's giving us some shit, man. What do you mean?
Well, the thing I was...
slip a boy over here.
One of the things that surprised me about Pauly B...
I love him, though, man.
...is he kind of fucked up the lyrics on the third song, and he didn't seem comfortable on stage. And this is a guy who makes his living on stage. But
no,
he didn't seem comfortable.
I thought he was fine.
You thought he was fine?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I threw in a couple lyrics for him, and he...
Then he caught on?
Yeah.
Because he was pissed, John.
Yeah, I know he was. How would you know? I took him home. I had to listen to him till 5 in the morning.
Oh, and then the other thing about Punky is...
Although, you know what he did say? He said, when we come over to the UK...
And we got
to
go, man.
He's going to put billboards all over the place of... Kangaroo Court playing featuring Rick on guitar and then not let us play.
Or not let Rick play.
Not let for Rick play. It's just mean.
But that is mean.
My daughter thinks, my son comes down, who's that guy that's staying here? What's his name? Jimmy B? Yeah, that's it. Jimmy B. And my daughter said, yeah, that Pauly B is so cool. He was showing me some soccer tricks. His silky moves.
Silky?
Yeah. And he said rubbish. She thought it was so cool that he said rubbish.
My kids love the Pauly B. Love the Pauly B.
Who wouldn't?
So Stefan C. shows up. Pauly B. stayed the first weekend. Then he went down south and he came back for the second weekend and he stayed with you. Right? Did he stay with you?
Yeah.
So he stayed one night with me and I took him back to the airport to get him out to Dallas. And... so then Stefan C. shows up the next weekend, and Stefan C. Brings some gifts with him. So my wife was making some soup, and my daughter said, hey, what's with all the soup? I mean, that's a lot of soup. Oh, we're going to bring some up to when we go visit. We're going to bring some as kind of a house gift, you know, thanking for letting us stay there, this soup. Like Stefan C., he brought us gifts. He brought us these gifts when he stayed at our house. My daughter was
right.
Now, what's with Pauly B. then? He didn't bring anything. Well, Pauly B.'s very busy. He's very busy. He travels very lightly. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to bring anything.
He gave me a guitar and he signed it.
Really?
Yeah, I've always said, when I come back, I have to have that back.
Oh, okay.
But Tony Hearn, I tried to get him to stay at my house, like, all week. Hey, dude, you want to, you know.
He wouldn't do it.
Wouldn't do it. I showed him around. I said, look, you got a big screen TV. All these DVDs are yours. You got internets. Your own bathroom. I don't have a bed, but I have this inflatable mattress. It's all set up. Your own TV in that room also. And he was content staying at Rick's and sleeping with Kevin the Fish. Then, the night he slept at my house, he woke up. He didn't wake up till like 4 in the afternoon or whatever. And he says, oh, man, that bed was so comfortable. Well, apparently Rick must have given him a toddler bed to sleep in. So his legs are like hanging over the edge.
No, really, this is how beds are in the United States. Just get in, okay?
They're much shorter. Oh, yeah.
Well, Punky is back in the UK. They've already put out two podcasts, John. We haven't. This is our first one.
First, yeah.
They've already put out two.
Yeah, we produced one of theirs, though.
Oh, we did produce one of theirs when we could have been doing one of ours. Oh, and that's the other thing. I didn't want to be on the podcast, but we got...
Why not?
I don't know. I just did. I don't think it's a proper forum to be, because there's really no time to get any real ideas across.
Edgewise.
Right. And that's fine. I mean, that's their show. That's the way it is.
The shtick.
But we went ahead and did it anyway. The one thing I found interesting is I thought Pauly B, I've listened to a lot of the Punky podcasts, probably all of them. I thought he was much sharper here in the States.
Yeah.
And we talked about this before with this local radio DJ a-hole, Steve Dahl. He's only as good as the people that are in the same room that he's playing off of. Playing off of, because we didn't really take part in it at all. But it was a whole different dynamic for him to have this big audience while he was podcasting.
Right.
And he really seemed to get off
on
that.
He riffed on Steph and C, something else.
Yeah.
It was fucking hilarious, I thought.
So that was interesting to me.
I mean, I don't mean ripped, but riffed.
Riffing. Yes, riffing.
Comedy riffing.
He is a comedian, John.
Very good riffer.
And then they get back to the UK. Now, I haven't heard their latest podcast, but the first podcast they put out from the Punky Bunker is the shittiest sounding podcast I've ever fucking heard. I mean, it's awful. Tony Hearn sounds good, but Pauly B sounds, I don't know what that, I can't even understand him. I could not understand what he was saying.
Because
you've told me, hey, if you do your own podcast, make sure you sound the best. And that the other guy.
Tony Hearn must have.
Was he monkeying around with
wrong.
The board?
Yeah.
I haven't heard the.
Pauly B, make sure you check that board.
I haven't heard the latest one, though. But the first one. Ugh.
Well, I told him, I told Pauly B and, Tony Hearn, to get some B2 Pros, man.
B2 Pros,
some
no doubt.
Cheap-ass, really quiet. Listen to these mics.
Well, he must have done
shit.
That, John. You know why? You know why, John?
Why?
Because Alcohol, his band, is doing a podcast. They put out their first episode, Alcohol Cast.
Oh, yeah.
I've gotten a little more than halfway through, and the production quality, I don't know. It sounds like he got some B2s.
Yeah, maybe.
And he's got the drummer and the bass player from his band, and they do a podcast now. You have anything to say about their podcast, John?
Out of sight, man.
The other thing is, I've been listening to Punky since day one, and Tony Hearn is really... blossomed. Okay, John, he's really matured from not even really being able to say a goddamn word 2 years ago.
And he's funny.
He's running the podcast. I mean, he's the host with the most.
Yeah.
For the Alcohol Cast. You know, it's probably
because he's got a great level of timing. It's like the you know, the Smothers Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the one who did all the talking was the smart brother.
Right.
But the dumb brother was actually the brains behind the comedy.
Right on.
That's Tony Hearn.
So is it you're saying that Tony's the unsung Punky hero? Is that
right,
what you're saying?
Right.
I think that's a stretch.
I'm not saying that. Because Pauly B will just fucking put a gun to his own head. And then mine. Well, then mine first, then his.
But it's
yours.
All, you're right, John. It's all timing. Timing.
Timing.
Timing. Right on, John. From 2 years ago, not being able to say, put a string of goddamn sentence together, to now being able to host a show. And I think we're a little bit responsible for that, because he sees the magic. He sees how easy it is for us. Because it's so natural for us.
Come on!
Geniuses.
Right.
And
I think it's just how good we sound in our headphones.
That probably has a lot to do with it. So you get the B2s, and
right.
Anybody can do this, John. Anybody.
And you gotta get these headphones, man. See, tonight you're flipping out. Dude, I don't sound right. Can you mess with my bass? Can you do this? Because you're used to these studio monitors I told you to get.
Right, right.
Because they kick ass, don't they?
They do kick ass.
They're the
flattest
sounding in there.
So what am I wearing now? K-44s from like Radio Shack or something?
No, those are good ones.
Yeah,
but they're just for studio monitoring. They're not for... they're not really flat response. They're for guests.
All right, so...
Listen to my cold.
If you get a chance, check out Alcohol Cast with Tony Hearn and the rest of his bandmates from Alcohol. And those fuckers better hook us up when we come over. I tell you that, John.
Well, you know, for their first podcast, it's actually pretty good. You remember ours, right?
Yeah, but Tony's has 2 years of punky under his belt.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
It doesn't.
Experience matters.
I know, and he ran the whole show with his guys. There were some sphincter jokes in there.
They did bits, which
did
I was surprised.
Bits, yeah.
I mean, we don't even have time to do bits.
Yeah.
And they're doing bits. You were single, John?
They're not all single.
They're not?
Drummer and bass player have wives and kids.
They do?
Yeah.
So who's doing the bits? Tony?
It must be.
For crying out loud. Maybe his girlfriend is like his intern. She does all the bits.
Could be. Could be. He was on Skype like 24/7 talking to her.
Oh, right. When he was staying at your house?
Yeah.
Yeah, big pussy whip pussy.
Oh, my
God. No, I'm just kidding, of course.
Better not talk about what happened at that one bar with that chick. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. She doesn't listen to our show,
no,
though, does she?
I don't think
yeah.
so.
So it'd be okay if we talked about it.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so then air out my shorts. They do not make it, right? They don't make
no.
it. No. And then Pauly B. Was it Pauly B. who told us that, yeah, they broke up? That
really?
Word whore and Preston Buttons, it's over. Yeah, it's over. I'll tell you about it later. And then he never told me about it again.
This man is totally insane.
But they're not broken up. They're out my
they're
shorts
not.
Released episode 88.
Have you talked to them?
I have not talked to them. They did
Take
release episode 88, though. And get this, Preston is a drummer.
No.
If you're available in the Toronto
shit.
Area, November 30th, Preston Buttons will be playing in two bands. One is a drummer and one is a singer.
Really?
Check that out, huh?
Wow. Check out my drums, man. Have you ever heard this?
No. It's not you, man. That's
it
Dave
is.
Weckl.
No, it's not.
Come on.
It's me on my Roland E-drums.
Your new module?
Yeah.
It's out of sight. Oh, we mentioned earlier that we are going to be moving out of this studio back into your house studio.
Yeah.
At that time, will we be able to carry on the short-lived tradition of live performance?
Absolutely.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Absolutely.
I better start practicing
that. You better, dude.
Well, that sounds tits.
Tits ass sound fuck
tits ass shit sound.
Listen to drum samples, man.
One other podcast I wanted to mention is the Smodcast.
Yeah. The Smodcast.
Just checking in with the Smodcast. This is Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier. And I pulled this clip.
So then this guy, like, you know,
I think,
fucking sucked my ass.
I think
like.
We should start a game. The guess the likes.
How many likes?
In the clip. here, Scott Mosier is talking about a judge. No, it was a prosecuting attorney who is convicted of child pornography? No, child molestation. So he was... Kevin Smith talked about the punishment, and here's Scott Mosier talking about the punishment.
Child Mosier Station.
Yes. Count the likes. Hold on. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Start it over. We need to count the likes. See how many likes?
How many likes?
Do you come up with in this 30-second clip? Go ahead.
All right.
I mean, because that even goes like the dude fucking, like, breaks open.
Oh, come on, man. Start it over.
What?
I can't count likes, man. Maybe that. Man, what is with that laugh?
I don't know. My voice is fucked up, man. Oh, man.
Maybe that's.
I was going to bring weed, too, tonight.
Maybe that's the part of the challenge of the game is we play it and then you play a bunch of obnoxious sound clips. That laugh is outrageous, John. It's outrageous. All right. Now concentrate. Start it over.
I mean, because that even goes like a dude fucking like breaks open a fucking vending machine and right. takes all the money. That's breaking the law, too. But, like, I don't sit there and go, like, yeah, but, dude, it's just, like, you should be put on an island full of fucking people like you, vending breakers. But, like, that guy not only is just, like, breaking the law, but just, like...
He's breaking the public trust.
Yeah, and he's also, like, putting himself into a category where I'm just, like, I'm sorry, like, I just don't, like, I don't, like, I don't even know how to, like, you don't even know how to deal with that person.
Mm-mm. All right. How many did you get, man?
14.
You got 14, I got 16. I got 16 likes in 30 seconds.
Holy shit.
That is the one every 2 seconds average that a Scott Mosier
wow, that's right. You
can
were right.
produce.
I think you're onto something in your next thesis.
Yes, my next thesis, John, because I am, I am a college student.
That's right.
Right on. You're I got my college ID.
67-year-old college student.
I'm not 67, cocksucker. Oh, that laugh is great. We're going to have to isolate that.
All right.
All right. Now, before we get into celebrity news, we do have a TTN correction. Last podcast, we had celebrity news, and I talked about Marsha Brady. Remember
right,
that? Marsha,
right.
Marsha, Marsha. And she's got a new book coming out. And I made some statements about Marsha Brady, and Rick called me on it. Go ahead and play that clip, because we have
she
a correction.
And her on-screen sister, Eve Plum, had a lesbian fling.
I say
Whoa.
Shit. I
say shit. Here's a different side to the Brady Bunch, huh? She's going to candidly talk about the well-documented eating disorder and drug problems
She's
as well.
Out to sell books. That's
but,
total shit.
Lesbian affair with Eve
no,
Plum.
No, that would have come out a long time ago.
Rick was absolutely right. That is total shit.
Ah.
That is a rumor started by who knows who. But
right.
Marsha Brady did not have a lesbian affair with James.
How do you know?
It's not in the book.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I...
Let's get ready to play!
I can't be for sure.
You can't be for sure on that.
I'm not exactly for sure, John.
Oh, yeah. All
right, but with that, let's turn to celebrity news, John. I'm gonna a little quiz for you here.
Little,
I'm gonna give
little
you a quiz quote.
Quiz.
I'm gonna give you a quote, and I want you to tell me who the celebrity is. All right.
All right.
I'm gonna quote, and you tell me what celebrity said this. All right.
Okay.
I was a kid that if I saw a great movie that I enjoyed, I'd go to see it twice, thrice, 10 times. And then, of course, go buy the DVD. Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music was very important to me. I also love Cinderella. When I was younger, they were huge for me. What celebrity said that? What celebrity? He's
Tom,
a new celebrity.
Tom Cruise.
No. He is a new celebrity. That is not it.
No.
Any other guesses?
Oh, he's a new celebrity.
New celebrity. In the last... 2 years, he's become a huge celebrity.
Zac Efron?
That is right. That is Zac Efron. That was a quote from Zac Efron. I'm excited about following this young man's career, John.
You sure are. You're gonna ride his tail, aren't you?
'Cause,
away in the sunset.
I think that whole thing with him and his co-star having some sort of romantic involvement, I think that's all propaganda, John. All propaganda.
Oh, I was playing the YouTube video of Quentin Tarantino talking about Top Gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching like the whole thing.
We did that John and Scott Theater.
Right. And my son is taps me on my shoulder. Dad, what are you watching? And he was standing there for a good 5 minutes. I click. How long have you been watching this, Nate? I don't know. Since you started it, I guess. I don't know. You heard a lot of swearing in there, right? He goes, yeah. Okay, don't tell your mom.
Right. Right on.
Guy code. Guy code, dude.
Yeah, you know, Brody's not old enough for guy code, but with Emma, I mean, she's witnessed things that I don't take that approach.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. She's witnessed things?
Yeah, she's witnessed things.
What are you saying?
Similar things. Like, oh, I'm okay. On the computer, and she's behind me, and she I don't know it.
She's witnessed me banging the neighbor. I'm like, what?
And I'm watching something, and nothing, no pornography or anything, but something that she's probably not old enough to see. And I'll try to inform the lovely wife before my daughter gets a chance.
Oh.
It'll be interesting to see, though, when Brody is of age and catches me doing shit I shouldn't be doing.
Oh, he won't break bad on you.
How I'll handle that. Is the guy code? Is the guy code inherently genetic then, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
It's like there's no need. There's no a priori knowledge is already in place. Very good then.
Well, yeah. I hooked him up with PlayStation Madden 08.
Oh, that's...
It's bribery. You got to...
That's out of sight. Out of sight. All right, I'm going to save... I had in Celebrity News, I had Klutzo the Clown, but I'm going to save that.
Klutzo the Clown.
Did you hear about Klutzo?
No.
Do you want to hear about him? I'll try to get through it quickly. He served in law enforcement for over 20 years. He's been a youth counselor, an ordained minister, John, a big brother. He deplores the rampant proliferation of smut in America. He bills himself as Klutzo the Christian Clown and visits orphanages overseas. Guess what happened to Klutzo?
Orifices.
Guess what happened to him, John?
What happened to Klutzo?
An Illinois man who worked as Christian clown named Klutzo was arrested yesterday on child pornography charges for allegedly taking naked photographs of young boys at a Philippines orphanage. According to federal criminal complaint, Amon Paul Carlock. You know, if you take the A-R-L out of that, it spells cock. Took the illicit photos during a clowning trip to the House of Joy Orphanage earlier this year. The photos were discovered by agents who examined Carlock's camera and laptop during a routine baggage inspection at the San Francisco airport. According to the complaint, an excerpt of which you'll find below. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, whatever.
Below.
When agents confronted Carlock about the images, he denied possessing child pornography and having sexual contact with children. Regarding the naked photos of young boys, Carlock explained, "That's how they live, John." Three of the boys seen in the photos told investigators they woke up to find Carlock fondling and caressing them. On his website, Carlock, who has worked with his wife, a fellow clown, describes himself as a Christian clown who performs at parties, picnics, vacation Bible school, children's church. Carlock told investigators that he previously traveled to the House of Joy in 2004 and visited a Mexican orphanage in 2002. He is also reported being an ordained minister who has been involved in pastoral ministry, Christian education and camping. In camping, that's scary. And evangelism, John. Evangelism since 1964.
Evangelism.
Evangelism.
Evangeloism.
So, Klutzo, the Christian clown, goes down, John. Goes down.
He's just like Pogo the Clown.
And when are people
going
to wake
up? Do you know who Pogo the Clown was?
Pogo. No, I do not. Pogo.
John Wayne Gacy, my friend.
Was Pogo?
Was Pogo the Clown.
Wow. That's out of sight.
Yeah.
Pogo. When are people going to wake up?
Rhymes with homo.
If your next door neighbor's a clown,
Yeah, run for your life.
If he's a scoutmaster.
Oh, I got to tell you about that.
These are things to be that raise red flags. They should raise red flags.
The son was asking about scouts this week because he had a football game at 8:30 in the morning. Now, I was over at Special Ed's, which you never showed up to.
I never did.
For the Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest. You were there until 2:30 in the morning, John.
Yeah, one of our big fans.
Jeremy.
JP. Oh, Jeremy was there, too.
He's our biggest
fan.
And
Jeremy, JP.
You have another big fan?
Yeah, another fan. JP, he likes to gather up our shows and then listen to them while he's flying overseas or something. And so I'm out there till 2:30 in the morning, and then I got to wake up at 6 and take the son to a game. And I run into some of the other dads who are beat to shit because they were on a camping trip with the scouts and doing a bike ride and everything. So my son asked me and my wife, how come I'm not in scouts? You're not going to be in scouts. I'm sorry, buddy. We're not going to, no, sorry. Really? What? Now, these other dads, I got to take, you know, at least they go on these camping trips with their sons. You know, they don't just dump them off and let Scoutmaster Pogo the Clown Bob or Klutzo the Clown.
Klutzo the Christian Clown.
Christian,
John,
clown,
the Christian clown.
Take them out and show them how to, you know, start a fire with their wiener or something, you know. So,
right on.
And I just read an article about that the scouts have covered up like 5,000 reports of
it's like
sexual
the Catholic
abuse.
Church.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
So I'm like, no way. I said, honey, no. Sorry. I know it's tough for him. We'll put him into something else, but he's not going to go into scouts because it's fucked up.
I'll take him camping, okay?
Yeah. I'll take him camping with a big screen TV.
Getting back to Klutzo the Christian
45.
Clown, here's what I can guarantee from the atheist population. You're never going to have Klutzo the Atheist Clown, okay? And even if you did, he wouldn't be a pedophile, all right?
Right. I don't think you'll ever have an atheist pedophile. Have you ever heard of one?
I've never heard of one.
I don't think there's any atheists in jail. I take that back. I think there's a couple.
It's probably a couple. Maybe they believed in God when they got there, but they don't anymore because of their predicament, you know?
Right.
You know how that works. Oh, speaking of that, you know, we talk a lot about what is it that makes people believe in God? And my son was doing something, and I told him not to do it. And he went ahead and
did
it anyway.
Was he praying?
I can't remember what he was doing, but he got hurt. Not seriously hurt, but he got hurt. And I almost said something like, you see what happens when you don't listen to me. Like I had some divine power.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't. I held back because if I had said that, then I put in my son's mind that, oh, wow, my dad's supernatural. And
no.
Now let's start believing in supernatural stuff. And, and maybe in replacing my dad, now I need to put God. So, you know. I swear during the day and at the end of the day, I get an F on my report card. It must be God. You know, so there's the correlation. There's how it all works, you see. But who knows? I don't know.
No. I think you're looking at it the wrong way.
How so?
You could attribute it to your great wisdom, which is based on experience and observation.
Well,
saying,
by telling him... You see what happens? That's
see what happens when you mess with the Warriors,
that's,
man?
That's the easy way out.
What do you mean?
It's easy, you know, to make them feel guilty. Hey, listen to me, or look what happens. You're going to accidentally
don't touch
smack
that match.
Your head.
Don't touch that match. You're going to burn yourself. You're going to burn yourself. And then he does. You see? What did I tell you? What's wrong with that? Okay, Dad, you were right. Fuck you, man.
Who knows? It's all a grand experiment, isn't it? With no controls.
No doubt.
All right, last celebrity news, John. Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher are in the news again. Do you know why?
I don't know.
They are reportedly embarrassed and angry after learning that candid camera phone snapshots are circulating in cyberspace. Now, Ashton Kutcher, this fucker lost his phone like 2 years ago. You think the guy would learn a goddamn lesson, you know? But no, he doesn't. He doesn't learn a lesson. Let's go ahead and play Celeb Hot Chick. This is Ashton Kutcher's phone from 2 years ago.
Chick, all right.
At 1.
After he lost his phone.
Ash, I was thinking about last night earlier. And I have to tell you, it made me a little wet. I hope that you like me sucking your cock. I'll tell you, that's my favorite thing to do. You really have a nice one, so I like seeing your balls, and I like stroking your shaft with my tongue, especially the underside, because I know that drives you crazy. And I just can't wait to put it in my mouth again.
Oh, God.
You are something special, Ash, I tell you. Laying on that bed, sucking your cock. I'm surprised you able to give me such a big load after all the fucking. It was really tasty, and you know I love to taste it, so. And hopefully we can recreate that again sometime. I'd really enjoy that. And maybe I'll bring a friend along next time and let her join in with us. I like to be eating her pussy while you're fucking me from behind. You're an amazing guy. And,
alright, so there's the first time the fucker loses his cell phone. This is the shit that happens. He does it again. But now he's embarrassed and angry. You know why, John? The photos taken on the phone Kutcher lost during a trip to Spain in April include nude shots of Moore posing on a bed. According to the tabloid, the National Enquirer, reports suggest the man who found the phone in the back of a taxi is now offering the snapshots to sleazy websites. Why are they sleazy? For $1 million. The lost phone also featured telephone numbers of the couple's celebrity pals.
Wow.
A source adds, people started calling the phone asking for Ashton. Finally, Ashton decided to ring it and spoke to the guy. He demanded that the guy give it back, but the man switched the phone off. When Demi and Ashton got word that someone had their racy pictures, they freaked out, John. They freaked out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my word.
Check this out.
Word.
I don't know if this is the sounds any good, but check this out. Tell me if you recognize what's going on in this.
Okay. I can play lead. I mean,
I'll
sing,
man.
You want to sing? Okay, you do it.
I think I know what this is. You can stop this mess now. I know what this is. Hey, shut up, man.
No, listen to the guitar.
I remember that.
That was recorded on my phone. That's you playing the drums, singing.
Well, that's when...
And you were the only one there that was actually playing anything.
That's when...
You came correct.
Your son's coach.
Daughter's coach.
Daughter's coach of softball?
You idiot!
Yeah.
Came by because he said, the guy's fucking amazing on his porch with his guitar.
I didn't say amazing.
He's unbelievable.
I never said
so
that.
The guy shows up here. He sits in, not sits in, but he watches us practice for a while. Is he getting hammered while that's...
He's drank like 14 beers.
He's drank like 14 beers. So we strap a guitar on him, and it takes a fucking hour to tune the goddamn thing. I finally just say, Rick, will you tune the guitar for this fucking guy? So he tunes the guitar. Rick gave him the... Was Rick playing bass?
Yeah. I was just sitting there.
You let me
playing drums.
You let me get back on drums, and we tried to play anything. We tried to play anything.
All right, I'm going to practice, and I'll be back every Thursday.
Oh, great.
What?
And I think that what you recorded was the closest we came to a song.
Absolutely. That was beautiful. It's beautiful.
Absolutely.
It's beautiful.
I like
man.
How that you segued, you know, from Ashton Kutcher's cell phone
to my cell phone.
To your cell phone.
You
that
like
was,
that?
That was hot. All right, John. Now, John, you said we got some comments there. You said that. You said we got comments.
I did.
You had those comments ready?
I did say that.
I did say that.
I said that, but what I'm saying now.
What are you saying now?
I can't find them. Here they are. All right, I don't know where, I forgot to ask you where we start.
How the hell should I know?
Oh, boy. Whoa. All right, I don't know where to start.
Let's read the last
Jesus
four.
Jesus Christ. Oh, the last four? All right. Here we got, okay, here we go. You lovely fellas from Pauly BX, then they're tools. It's good to have you two tools back in the box. Enough with the ad hoc. Get on with it already and give Phil more airtime. Submitted by Phil.
Oh, there you go.
Best podcast ever. You dyslexic ducks need to fump the ducking ad hocs and put out a real pre-thart show. Enough with the British twats. Those guys are gunts. Tuck farts.
Those guys are gunts?
Gunts. Tuck farts. That's from Flum Rivet.
Flum Rivet. Flum Rivet. What? I can't.
Flum Livet.
There you go.
Livet. Funny stuff. You guys are funny. That's from Smuck Jug. Miss you guys. Hey, guys. Hope all is well. Miss the big three parters. Come back. Pout. You make me smile. Hugs to Scott and kisses for John from Amy Iris. Suck it from Swillier and Total Big Sense. Total Talk Big Sense. Don't make us beg for more. It ain't dignified from Mark Spooner.
Did you practice that at home?
No.
That was right on, man.
I did not.
It never ceases to amaze me, John.
I'm a professional, Scott. I can dyslexic my way through any reading and time it so I end right at the musical cue.
That is fan-fucking-tastic.
And the donut just right.
Now, John, we did have, 4 weeks off? After a six-week layoff, we had another 4 weeks off or whatever the fuck it was.
Right.
But in that time, it's not like we weren't doing anything, okay?
I was doing something. I don't...
We took the time machine back because we came up with an idea for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
We took the time machine back. We hooked up with Shakespeare. And we had him cut a couple of recitals for us.
Right.
Now, the whole idea behind this bit is we are going to start a new contest, John. This is a new contest.
New contest.
We're going to have, originally, we're going to go back in time and have Shakespeare, Hitler, Mussolini, you know, figures, infamous and famous figures from history.
Figures.
Read song lyrics and then have the listeners try to guess what song was being recited. So we originally, we took the time machine back, we hooked up with Shakespeare, but it was such a goddamn ordeal. It was unbelievable. Because what we didn't think about was, Shakespeare doesn't know what the fuck a microphone is. He doesn't know what headphones are. And it took, now we're going to play a couple of clips from Shakespeare here. And maybe the Library of Congress will be interested in this, I don't know.
Yeah.
But It took over 2 hours just to get these two clips from him. Because he thought we were gods. He thought we were Satan at one point.
Right, right. Because we took his picture with the cell phone and showed it to him.
That
wasn't good.
Yeah, that's the one thing that like put him over the edge. So we shoved this mic in his face, and we printed some stuff on paper. And the next time, if we ever do that, we have to like print a font that's current with that specific time. Because we did like a veranda, and he couldn't get over that. Yeah, it's got to be in script. So it took like 2 hours just to get these two clips, and it's just for a silly frickin' game show that we're doing here,
John.
But
he felt bad.
He what?
He felt bad later.
But he did feel bad.
And then he said to us afterwards,
mm-hmm. I might be one of the biggest cocks on the planet.
That's what he said. He felt bad.
Yes, in all his eloquence, that's what he said. But so here's the idea. We had this idea, and we may go back in time and get more of these clips. We don't know. But we did find a local redneck that's going to do some stuff for us. But here's the idea. You're going to hear the first two clips are Shakespeare reciting
song. Do we have
song.
A local redneck?
Yeah, we do have a local redneck. Yes, Festus Peters.
Festus Peters.
Yeah, I found him in the phone book. Festus Peters.
Festus Peters.
And get this, John. His nickname is
Ted Danis.
Is Big.
Oh.
So it's Festus Big Peters. So what we did before we met Festus is we went back in time. We had Shakespeare record these two clips. And what we want you as a listener to do is describe the song. We need the artist and the song that he is reciting in these clips. So go ahead and play the first clip.
First clip.
From every dingy basement on every dingy street, every dragging hand clap over every dragging beat, it's just the beat of time. The beat that must go on. If you've been trying for years, we already heard your song.
All right, so that's the first one. Now, as a listener, you have to try to identify what song Shakespeare was so eloquently...
Who's playing the tunes, man?
...reciting. This is Flats and Scruggs, man.
Oh,
Flats
I thought it was
and
Festus
Scruggs.
No. Peters.
Festus Big Peters? No. Interestingly, his pronunciation of dingy was dingy. I don't know if you caught that, John. Dingy.
Ah,
the great Shakespeare says dingy. That's how it should be pronounced. All right, we managed to get this other clip out of him. We managed to get this
dumbass.
One other clip out of him. Go ahead and play the next
shit
one.
Bollocks.
All right.
You better strip it down for a custom run, waiting in the airport till kingdom come, and we can watch you make it on the 9 o'clock news, standing there in Palestine, lighting the fuse. Whatever you want, you are gonna get it.
Wow.
There you go. Good. There's
deep.
The second one.
That's deep, man.
So now as a listener, you need to identify the first song, the second song, and we're going to play a third song shortly. Now, originally, I had this idea for Punky. I said, well, why don't we go back, take the time machine, spend like a week with Shakespeare. You know, because we have a time machine, we can come back 2 hours before we left, you know, and we're not going to lose any time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But go back and spend a week with Shakespeare and have him record like 100 song lyrics and then give it to Punky. But then I thought, what the fuck has Punky ever done for us? That's what I thought.
Yeah, right.
And you know what I thought of?
What?
Nothing.
No.
No. So that's why.
A lot of empty promises.
So now, so we come back from this trip. We fucked up on the coordinates, so we came back a week later than we left, and we were only there for 2 hours, so that kind of sucked.
Our wives got pretty pissed off.
Yeah, they got, you know, and
Where the fuck have you been?
How do you explain that? I don't know.
Fuck you.
I didn't
say
that.
To my wife. How dare you?
So, we said, we're not going to be able to do this. This is too time-consuming, especially if we can't figure out how to work the frickin' time machine.
Right.
If we can't guarantee that we're going to get back 2 hours before we leave,
right,
we can't continue. So, if we get those things worked out, maybe in the future we'll have like an Adolf Hitler recital. We'll have like a Gandhi recital, you know, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But in the meantime, we found this local guy. I looked him up in the phone
book.
Did
you know that why there's no Halloween in India?
I did.
You do know.
I do know.
Why is that?
No Gandhi.
Because they got no Gandhi.
They got no Gandhi. And Mandela's dead, John. Mandela's dead.
That's what I heard, yeah.
All right, so I looked this guy up in the phone book.
Don't you?
He doesn't live too far away from my house. He's a true redneck, and we came up with the concept that we'll do redneck recital. Redneck recital. Mm. So we're going to have this redneck read song lyrics so that you can guess the songs. Now, this first week is extremely difficult because you have to not only guess one, but three songs, John.
Right.
You have to guess Shakespeare number one, Shakespeare number two, and redneck number one.
Three.
Which is three. 2 + 1 = 3. Right on.
It's the new math. It's fuzzy math. Yeah,
this is Festus. Festus Big Peters.
Festus.
In this third clip.
Big
third
Peters. Clip, here we go.
I'm feeling drunk, juiced up and sloppy. Ain't touched a drink all night. I'm feeling hungry. Can't see the reason. I just had a horse meat pie. Yeah. When you call my name, I salivate like a Pavlov dog. Uh-huh. When you lay me out, my heart starts beating like a big bass drum.
All right, then. So.
God damn it.
When you get the answer to Festivus. Shakespeare 1 and 2 and Festus.
Festivus Peters is pretty good.
Festus Big Peters.
Festus Big Peters.
Send us that at.
Fucking shithouse bollocks.
TTN at. TotalTalkNonsense.com. Is that our email address? I don't even know what our email
TTN
address is.
TTN at TotalTalkNonsense.com.
Shoot us an email with the answer to the three songs, and we will see how it goes. But we hope to make
like
that a part.
Big bass drum.
We hope to make that a big part of the show. The contest, the redneck recital. As far as prizes, I got shit laying around my house, you know.
Nice.
We can sign that and send it off to whoever wins.
There's some poopy toilet paper.
All right, John, now I got a couple of emails.
You did?
Well, I got a ton of email, but I just grabbed two of them. First one is from Frank. Frank says, "Hi, you fucking cocksucking cunts. I'm Frank from Cape Town, South Africa, the Kaffa-loving country.
Right.
I listen to your podcast whenever I get time, so I would like to know, where the fuck have you gone to?"
Wow.
Did you fucking guys get stuck at Festivus Tetstainus or what?
Tetstainus.
Please, get your fucking asses in gear and do the next podcast already and keep the W jokes coming. Oh, fuck. I said coming. Cheers, guys.
Oh, come on my ass.
Come on my ass. All right, that was one of the emails I pulled from the mailbag, John, because we get a lot of email. The second email I pulled, it's really a great contribution to the show. It's going to lead right into science news, and this email is from Mrs. Raul, 88. Mrs. Raul, 88.
Fuck you.
The subject is GodTube Guy on my campus. I don't know if you remember the GodTube Guy, but I do, John.
Wow.
The email starts out, "Hello, John and Scott. I'm really a big fan and have been listening since episode 69.
Swing.
I've never emailed or posted to the forum, but I've decided to break my silence. Because this is just too good. Remember the guy on Guy Tube? Remember the guy on Guy Tube who sang, 'It's a baby, not a blob'? Go ahead and play that, John. Yeah. Of course we remember this guy.
Pro-choice crowd. It's a baby, not a blob. It's a baby, not a molecular glob. It's a baby, not a blob.
Oops.
It's a cute little innocent baby. I'll say it again. It's a baby,
sing along, John.
Not a blob. It's a baby, not a molecular blob. It's a baby, not a maybe. It's a baby,
blah, blah, blah.
Now what has its own heartbeat? All right,
just crank that down a little bit, and I'll continue with the email. Well, this fucking guy, John, he was protesting on my college campus today, along with roughly two dozen Christian pro-lifers with pictures of aborted fetuses. A lot of them were from the second and third trimester.
Ugh.
To up the shock value.
You could pull a fucking liver out of somebody and it'll look like shit.
But I digress. The guy's name is Robert Briad. Briaud. Robert Bob. It's Bob Broad. Bob Broad.
Abroad.
And he's a get this, John. I didn't know this until the email. He's a reformed homosexual.
Ah.
That means he used
they
to be.
Fixed him.
Right. He used to suck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now he's
Are
reformed.
You a beer pupper?
He performed It's a Baby, Not a Blob for Everyone. Live, John. Can you believe that?
Can you suck dicks?
So I stood beside him and read God Is Not Great by
Can
Christopher Hitchens.
Dicks?
Oh, great book.
A crowd had gathered at this point, and I was about to pack it in when he began to sing another song. It's untitled as far as I know, but the opening lyrics are, "It's not okay to be gay. It's not okay to be a homo." All right, now we have this song, John, because he provided a link. So go ahead and play that. This is his new song, Robert.
It's not okay to be gay. It's not okay. It's not okay to be gay. It's not okay to be a homo. God said it's a real big no-no. You can look it up for yourself. Leviticus 18:22. Bible says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Is an abomination." I really did look up that word when I came out of homosexuality 12 years ago. Abomination is an enormous sin. Disgusting, dirty, and perverted. And you know God created Adam and Eve, and not Adam and Steve. So if you're in a homosexual relationship, you need to
suck dicks.
Because it's not okay to be gay. It's not okay to be a homo.
You know why, John?
What's that?
God said it's a real big no-no. All right, you can now. There you go. So at first, our listener,
this guy's a fucking dickhead,
read God Is Not Great by Christopher Hitchens during the first song. And when Bob Broad broke out in the second song, This called for more decisive action, so I began preaching to everyone the gospel of the Church of Satan. I'm not a member, but hey, what the hell?
What the hell?
I don't know if I convinced anyone to walk into His Infernal Majesty's sulfurous embrace, but I thought the exchange of ideas was successful. Here's a link to him singing "Not Okay to Be Gay." Enjoy, fellas.
So, what's this guy's name? Who emailed us?
No, there's no signature. Only the Ms. Raul 88. So, Miss Raul 88.
That's out of sight. He's a TTN hero.
It could be a she, John. We don't
or
know.
Or she, yeah.
Could be she.
Sorry. He, she, whatever.
If we had TTN t-shirts, we'd be sending one out right now.
Right now,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
We do have them.
We do? We
yeah,
have TTN.
CafePress.com.
No. I'm saying the exclusive.
Oh.
500 exclusively printed TTN shirts with.
They're still coming. They're on order.
What was the slogan we decided on?
Keeping
it real? Real stupid?
Real stupid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's out of sight.
All right, I'm gonna save that email, and we'll try to contact
that
person with some contact
Let's
information.
Let's give him a tetanus salute, shall we?
Yes, no doubt. Tetanus. Tetanus. Tetanus.
A three tetanus salute. Topped off with a tet.
And when those t-shirts do come in, that is the first person to receive a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Right there, that is out of sight. We want to hear more about evangelical atheists running out there, and you don't have to be an atheist. Just promote the exchange of ideas.
That's right, the exchange of ideas.
And talk
true
over
education.
Some fucking moron.
True education, John.
Like this cock smoker, ex-cock smoker. Sorry,
Bob Broad, John. Bob Broad.
And who was he with? Neil.
Neil.
Was he with a guy named Neil? Bob and Neil. Neil and Bob.
I don't know, man. But
Did
there's
I tell
bad
you
news.
I saw a movie. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bad news.
No, you saw a movie.
Yeah, we're gonna. It's just nothing. It's nothing. You usually say, "Do you see any movies?" And you didn't ask me, so I'm like sitting here. I saw a movie. I saw a movie finally, and you didn't fucking ask me.
Would you like to comment on the movie? Because I have a natural segue from Bob Broad.
Yeah, go with the natural segue.
It's going into science news, though.
It's okay.
All right, so we're gonna go into science news now. Now, Bob Broad used to be a homosexual. He's not anymore.
Can you suck dicks?
He used to be an alcoholic. He's not anymore. Now he sings songs on GodTube.
Shit.
But there's bad news for the ex-gay movement, John. Bad news.
Ah, what's that?
Two scholars funded by the ex-gay ministries Exodus reported.
What?
Two scholars funded by the ex-gay ministry Exodus. Okay, so Exodus took a bunch of money. They gave it to two scholars, and they said, study this shit for us, okay? So we have something good to report. Study this.
That sounds like...
this is recycled...
stuff.
Stuff.
Well, no, it's not. Reported greatly mixed results this week in the most ambitious study yet, John, on whether faith-based therapy can cure homosexuality.
Homosexuality.
Days after a counselor in another ex-gay program was sentenced on felony charges of sexually attacking his male clients.
Ooh.
Okay, so they, 4-year study, they're finally getting the results. Within days of the results, this other guy attacks his client.
That's right, it stinks!
Christopher Austin, 43, was sentenced to Dallas to 10 years in prison on 2 counts of felony sexual assault in connection with his work in the ex-gay program, Renew.
That represents the gay way. The gay
Renew.
Way.
Operated out of the Church of Christ, South MacArthur in Irving, Texas. One of several victims who came forward, Mark Hufford, testified that Austin used touch therapy.
Oh, yeah,
ostensibly
sure.
cure him of his homosexuality.
Homosexuality.
A treatment that progressed to include nude sessions.
Ah,
and later,
I knew how to quit you.
Oral sex.
No, come on.
Fuck
Fuck you.
Come on, Kate. No. You see that happening? Oh, all right. We need to be sure that you're really cured, so I'm going to whip it out.
And
if you,
mouth,
you know, you if you're going to suck on it, you're not cured yet.
Yeah. Here it is. Waggle, waggle.
The tale la, serves la, la, as a painful counterpoint to the book published this week by psychologist Stanton Jones.
Stop
of Wheaton
whining,
College.
Like discipline.
Wheaton College, that's right around
yeah,
the corner.
Yeah, right there.
And Mark Yarhaus of the Pat Robertson University.
Oh, my God.
Stop whining. You lack discipline. Stop whining.
Who attempted to
discipline.
Show that extent to which sexual orientation change is possible through a study of 98 participants of ex-gay ministries over 4 years.
Don't be ridiculous.
Oh, say. So they got 98 homosexuals together, and they studied them for 4 years.
Yeah.
After the homosexuals tried to go through these programs of becoming an ex-gay. And here's what happened. Their book, Ex-Gays, a longitudinal study of religious mediated chains and sexual orientation.
A lengthitudinal study.
That's the book that they just released. Alan Chambers, the president of Exodus International. Here's what he had to say. Finally, John, there is now scientific
Finally.
Evidence to prove what we as former homosexuals have known all along. That those who struggle with unwanted same-sex attraction can experience freedom from it.
Oh.
Unfortunately, John, that's not...
I wish that, I knew how to quit you.
That does not jive with the study results.
You idiot!
I'm going to read the study results
okay.
on 98 All homosexuals right. over a four-year period.
Wait.
Yes.
Should I play the appropriate music for this?
If you'd like. What would that be?
Isn't there appropriate music?
Not that I'm music? Aware of. Oh, right. It's not okay to be gay. Yeah. Here is the groundbreaking results of a four-year study of 98 homosexual men who went through programs offered by the ministry to lose their gay tendencies.
Way.
Because that sin is an abomination, John, in my
opinion. Abomination.
Here's the results.
Scott.
More than 60% who made it to the fourth year, more than 60%, John, all the way to the fourth year, did not change. What does that mean to you, John? They're still homosexuals.
Gay.
Nearly a quarter were completely celibate. Okay, so 60% are still gay. A quarter are just decided not to be gay anymore, but they're not banging any women. John,
not
that's not
really
happening.
Gay. They're kind of gay.
They're still gay, but they're just not acting upon it.
Right.
8% claimed they were gayer. After the study. And guess what happened to the rest, John?
I don't know.
The rest dropped out.
Ah.
So 60% still homosexuals, 25% completely celibate. Means they're homers, but not acting on it.
Not acting homers.
And 8% claim they were gayer after the study.
I mean, wow, I'm more gay.
I'm even more gay after
I'm
going through this.
More gay.
Well, that 8%, you got to remember it's run by the ministry, right?
Yeah.
So who are their counselors going
right.
to be? You know what I'm saying, John?
Some gay priests.
Right. So they're more gayer because they're, I think you can draw your own
right.
conclusions there.
Right. Oh. Shut the fuck up. Bobber. Bob on the knob.
In other science news, a study shows that 16 to 29-year-olds exhibit a greater degree of criticism towards Christianity than did previous generations when they were at the same stage of life. Which is good news, John. In fact,
wow.
in just a decade, many of the Barna measures of the Christian image have shifted substantially downward. Fueled in part by a growing sense of disengagement and disillusionment.
Shalujiminch.
Among young people. For instance, a decade ago, the vast majority of Americans outside the Christian faith, including young people, felt favorable toward Christians' role in society. Currently, however, just 16% of non-Christians in their late teens and 20s said they have good impression of Christianity. So that's good news, John. The kids today, they're waking up. They're waking up. And we got a little bit of this from Tony Hearn.
Yeah.
Over in the UK.
Prayer.
70% don't believe
in Jesus. Said they used to pray in school.
Right. What is that? And he's a young guy.
Yeah.
So how long? That was only like 20 years ago. They're praying in school in the UK.
70% don't believe in Jesus.
And we'll get to that later, John. We'll get to that later. Praying in school.
I watched a National Geographic special about the rapture.
Really?
And they play this whole thing up all the way to the very last 10 minutes of this fucking thing. And I'm like, holy shit, Jesus Christ, already with all these evangelicals and ex-bishops and this and that.
Even the Jellicles, John.
Even the Jellicles were playing up this rapture, and then they drop the bomb. The rapture is not even in the Bible.
What?
Some guy back in the day.
Revelations, man.
Revelations is different.
Oh.
Revelations, according to some theologians and biblical scholars, might have been what John was talking about as far as how the Romans were and the kingdom of the Roman kingdom. The end of the end of time or the end of the earth would be, it's kind of like a metaphorical dialogue. You couldn't come out and say the Romans are going to get fucked and that whole kingdom is going to come crashing down. You had to be more metaphoric.
I see.
And the rapture was something that was tagged on later by some adultering, kid fondling minister that started, you know, propagating this BS, and then these end times freaks started, you know, promoting it. And even one of the bishops who did promote it in the beginning, he started seeing the light and went in. He's still a bishop, not a bishop, but he's still a practicing minister, but he isn't talking all this end times crap. He's like, we got to stop with the fear-mongering and talk about how religion is supposed to bring people together. And there is no lake of fire and all this crap and the rapture.
On.
It's about bringing people together, coexisting, love, all this, you know, hippie shit.
Hippie
if
shit,
if you
man.
Will.
That's hot.
And then I wasn't so turned off. You know, at the beginning, I was like, geez, here we go again. One side, there's no dissent throughout this whole thing, and they played it all the way up to the last 10 minutes of this hour special, and boom.
Boom.
They lay it down. You okay? You keep looking at your watch, man.
I'm good, man.
You all right, man?
I'm totally...
Oh, yeah, he's cutting into my fucking yap time.
I just cut out a bunch
time.
Of science news.
Yap. Oh, what an ass.
I do have one science story left, though. One left.
All right.
Here's what Roger Highfield says. A scientist has put forward the bizarre suggestion that there are two dimensions of time, John. Two dimensions of time.
Wow, we know
not
that.
The one that we're all familiar with, and even proposed a way to test his heretical idea next year. Time is no longer a single line from the past to the future. In a four-dimensional world consisting of three dimensions of space and one of time. Indeed, the physicist envisages the passage of history as curved embedded on six dimensions with four of space and two of time, John. Two.
Wow.
There isn't just one dimension of time. There are two. One whole dimension of time and another of space until now gone entirely unnoticed by us. Barr claims his theory of two-time physics, which he has developed over more than a decade, can help solve problems with current theories of the cosmos. Crucially, has true predictive power and can be tested in forthcoming particle physics experiments.
Wow.
If it is confirmed, it could point the way to the theory of everything, John. Do you know what that is, the theory of everything?
I don't.
That's what unites all physical laws in the universe. So you got the general theory of relativity, and then you got the theory of quantum mechanics. It's going to unify.
My builder told
all these theories
today. He worked for a guy that designed all the magnets for the Fermilab's particle accelerator.
Whoa.
Yeah, how about that?
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Today, theoreticians are studying a theory of everything called the M theory that adds yet another dimension, taking the total. This is 11 dimensions of space and one of time.
11 dimensions.
And we've talked about that before. And all I'm here to say, this is Scott from TTN, here to say that all this is shit. It's all shit. There aren't 11 dimensions of space and one of time. And there aren't four dimensions of space and two of time. It's all based on mathematics, and that's crap.
Yeah. The M theory, the master theory. It unifies the five super string theories.
Right. It's based on string theory, which is a bunch of shit, and I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
Because Einstein, in 1905, published three papers, and they were all based on thought, John. Thought. Thought experiments that he did in his fucking mind. The math was applied later, and it was found to be true. Here's the problem with string theory and M theory and all this other shit and this new theory that there's two dimensions of time. Here's the problem. It's all based on mathematics. They start with math first.
First.
So they're trying to use math.
And cognitive thought.
You can do whatever you want with fucking math and then unify these two things. And then it's okay. So mathematically, you figure out the unification. And then when you look at the math, then you have, okay, well, what does our math tell us? It tells us that there has to be 11 dimensions. Oh, okay. Yeah. How are we going to work that out?
Which means they went the gay way.
That is the gay way, John. Because let's get back to thought experiments, okay? Theoretical physics is about thought. It's not about math, okay? And I talked to the great Stefan C. about this, and he offered me some books. He brought
some nuggets.
And he offered me some other books that will help with my master's thesis, John. Master's thesis.
The only reason I laugh is because, first of all, I think you probably could write some real groundbreaking stuff. No joke on my part. No joke. I think no joke you can really write some groundbreaking stuff. Here's the part I laugh at.
Yeah.
Is your fucking passion to do that and finish it is lacking.
It is not.
You lack.
I've been a college student for
400 years.
6 weeks now?
6 weeks.
And I have not failed to turn in a paper. Four papers, John. Four.
But you only do it despite the teacher.
The fourth paper, the class was complaining so much, the teacher said, you don't have to do the fourth paper.
Yeah.
I did the fourth paper.
That's because you hate your teacher. You want to call her
a psychopathic bitch.
That sounds like my teacher.
Psychopathic bitch.
No, that is not true. But my master's thesis is going to explain why string theory is not the answer to unification. Now get this, John, my PhD.
Yeah.
That's when I'm going to tell everybody, the world, John. I'm going to tell the world that subatomic quantum mechanics cannot be unified with the theory of general relativity.
Why? Everybody knows they can.
Oh, really?
really?
And tell me why they can, John.
Why do I have to?
You just said that everybody knows.
Well, we don't
knows.
Have enough time.
If
you
everybody
keep looking
knows.
At your watch, I don't want to, you know, another science news
right.
to be dropped from the show.
Right on. All right, so that's all I have to say about that.
Wrong,
so watch for
wrong,
the groundbreaking master's thesis. And let's see.
Negative,
master's
negative,
thesis,
negative.
That'll be about 6 years from now. And then the PhD will be probably about 8 years. I don't know if we'll
Why
be podcasting then. Well, I still have to get my
Are
bachelor's degree,
butter?
John. I'm still working on the bachelor's.
Why do you need that? Just write the paper.
I would think that my teacher, just based on these four papers I've turned in, would just give me the bachelor's. But
right.
that hasn't happened yet. I don't know what's wrong with these people. They can't see genius. They can't give
All
me
right,
like an honorary...
Let's skip on to politics while your fucking listeners' their eyes are glazing over.
We'll get this in politics.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard this, John, but this really pulled my skivvies into a bunch. State lawmakers. Now, we're talking local here, John.
Right.
You and I are from Illinois. We don't talk about local politics too much, but this really binds my bullocks, John.
Trusts your nuts.
State lawmakers have moved Illinois to the forefront.
Illinois.
Illinois.
You said Illinois.
Of the national school prayer debate Thursday.
Ah,
requiring public schools to provide students with a brief moment of silence at the start of classes. The House joined the Senate in voting to override Governor Blago's veto of legislating mandating the period for silent prayer.
I'm going to make sure my
or
son
for
farts
silent
really
reflection
loud.
On the anticipated activities of the day.
Aww.
All right, so now when our kids go to school, at the beginning of school, and who knows how long this period of silence is going to be. Let's say it's 5 minutes. There's going to be a 5-minute period of silence, and the student can either pray.
No, this is what's going to come over the PA.
Reflect on the daily activities, on their daily activities. The governor said he believes in the power of prayer, but worried the law could erode the barrier between church and state. And that's the one thing I agree with the Rod Blago, is that statement right there. I don't agree with the guy on anything else except that right there, that statement. This was never about trying to require prayer in schools, said Representative Will Davis, a lead sponsor of the new law. This is a way for teachers and students to start the day off in the right way. Is that the biggest load of shit you've ever heard? Legal experts say the law, which turns the moment of silence from an option to a requirement, John, is likely to survive any constitutional challenges. The law takes effect immediately, and school districts will get
that
notice
up
from the State Board of Education shortly.
Well, they're trying to force people into privatizing education, which you know, I was telling my wife the other day after reading a story, and my wife happens to be she's been asked to be on the Board of Education on a number of times. And the board was very impressed with our school curriculum and the organization of the parent-teacher council. But I read an article about how a woman was really frustrated and how most parents are frustrated with this new no child left behind bullshit, these tests that these kids have to take at the beginning of the year and then somewhere towards the middle of the year to show that they've improved and they've made it to this benchmark where no teaching is being involved during these first 4 months. It's all memorization and study to pass these tests so that they get their federal funding.
Right.
Which is complete fucking bullshit.
Well, and the teachers even help the kids on the tests. So they get write the fucking answers on the blackboard.
And the teachers don't like it either. I've talked to the teachers. I've met with the teachers, and they say, yeah, we hate it. It's crap. We don't think the kids are getting any better. We don't think they're learning anything. We think they're memorizing, especially with math. They just basically memorize the mathematical problems, and they don't actually learn to figure them out.
The process.
Yeah.
John, the process.
Whereas my wife is actually giving me some kudos at my ability to teach my children in math.
That would be kudoi, John.
Kudoi
is the plural.
Kudois.
Not kudos.
Well, our house is a little dingy at times. And so
you should hire an ingenue, John.
I didn't say ingenue. Ingenue.
Well,
anyways, but I'm no good at grammar. My grammar is for shit.
I ask, what is the motivation behind this moment of silence in schools? And I forgot to ask my daughter today if they've started observing this. One of the things, though,
I'm going to ask my fucking kids' teachers.
What they don't know what to do is if a kid disobeys what's going to happen.
Nothing.
And there you're going to be able to sue and take it
all
the way to the Supreme Court.
I bet nothing will happen unless you get some right-wing fuck of a teacher. So what I'm going to teach my kid
which
to
is
do
gonna
is
happen.
Fart really loud during the moment of silence. I'm going to say, dude, man, get all your buddies together, and at the moment of silence, fart
loud. Let me read the law to you. In each public school classroom, the teacher in charge shall observe a brief period of silence with the participation of all students therein assembled at the opening of every school day. This period shall be not conducted as a religious exercise, but shall be an opportunity for silent prayer or for silent reflection on the anticipated activities of the day. So silent is, if you farted, that would not be silent. And
okay, well, I'll tell them to do an SBD.
But what is that?
Silent but deadly.
But I ask, well, what is the motivation? I think this is the most ridiculous law. We have a budget problem in Illinois, which is still not resolved, and they're fucking wasting their time on this shit. That really pisses me off.
You know, it's because did you hear the Ann Coulter bit this week?
Hold on, now here's the motivation.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
In a House debate,
I don't even know why I'm here.
Representative Monique Davis, a sponsor of the proposal and a former educator, said children are bombarded with too much noise in society. But do they ever have a moment of silence to reflect?
You're a psychopathic bitch.
To listen to the rustling of the leaves. To listen to the chirping of a bird, she asked.
Dickwad.
What a bunch of shit. I cannot believe this shit.
Yes!
It is unbelievable to me. And if they start doing this shit at my school, I'm going to be a goddamn, what do they call it? A squeaky. I'm
going to
be a squeaky wheel.
It's showtime.
John, a squeaky wheel, because a squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Stop shouting! I'm not deaf!
Right on.
Stop shouting.
Right on.
I'm not deaf.
Oh, shit.
So you're talking about Ann Coulter? What about Ann Coulter?
Yeah, she fucking flipped out this week, man.
When doesn't she flip out?
Well, you know, she's hawking another book. She's hawking, if Democrats had brains, they'd be Republicans.
Who buys
which
these books?
I don't even know why that. I don't understand that. What's the difference?
Yeah, what's they're both lame.
As far as politics, what's the fucking difference? That's just so stupid. But anyways, this is what she had to say on Donnie Deutsch, The Big Idea,
Deutsch.
His show.
The idea that, you know, the more Christian you are, the less tolerant you would be.
No, that's not my point, but you said we should just throw Judaism away and we should all be Christians then. Really?
Well, it's a lot easier. So it's kind of a fast track.
Really?
You have to obey.
You can't possibly believe that. You can't possibly.
Yes.
You're too educated. You can't. Are you like my friend?
Do you know what Christianity is? See, we believe your religion, but you have to obey.
No.
But we have the fast track program.
We'll put you with the head of Iran. I mean, come on. You can't believe that.
The head of Iran is not a Christian.
No, but
I don't
in fact,
know if
let's
you've
wipe,
been paying
let's wipe
attention.
Let's wipe Israel off the earth. I mean, what? No Jews?
No, we just want Jews to be perfected, as they say.
Wow, you didn't really say that, did you?
Yeah, no, that's what Christianity is. We believe the Old Testament, but ours is more like Federal Express. You have to obey laws.
We know we're all sinners. When you say something absurd like that, there's no.
What's absurd?
Jews are going to be perfected. I'm going to go off and try and perfect myself.
Well, that's
Ann Coulter,
author of
If Democrats Had Any Brains, They'd Be Republicans. And if Ann Coulter had any brains, she would not say Jews need to be perfected. I'm offended by that personally. And when we have more big idea, when we come back.
You're a psychopathic bitch.
Yeah, she's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Un-friggin' believable.
So the wheels are starting to fall off on the fucking psycho right-wing evangelical Christian right train. Because Michelle Malkin just dumped herself from the Bill O'Reilly show.
Like she didn't get fired.
For whatever. She's gone.
She dumped herself.
Ann Coulter is basically, I don't know if her career's over or if this made it better for her, but it's probably turning a lot of people off. Rush Limbaugh with his phony soldiers remark and then attacking some 12-year-old boy. Who happened to be hit by whatever. He was in a horrible accident and he was doing the Democratic radio address, which nobody really listens to anyway. But he does it to promote the S-chip and this fat fucking loser who, you know, doesn't even go into – he doesn't go into Vietnam because he had some sort of ass pimple, fucking ex-drug addict, just slams
– How do we know that?
Well, yeah, well, that he could still be a drug addict for all we know, allegedly.
Making comments about phony soldiers.
Yeah, and
– either that or he's retarded.
Ripping on Michael J. Fox about what's saying he's a faker. I mean, what the fuck is going on with these people? Free speech, I'm all for it. I'm all for what they're doing. But Jesus Christ, anybody who believes the fucking shit that comes out of their mouth, I want to fight them.
Well, we need to get Marty back in here.
I
want to
fight him. I want to fist fight the fuck.
He's a big
right
Bill
now.
O'Reilly fan. Is he still listening to Bill O'Reilly? Does he still
no,
buy the
you,
shit
you cannot,
that Bill O'Reilly?
You cannot get Marty nailed down to admit anything. When you try. He'll walk in. It'll be – he used to do this shit when the band would be practicing, and he'd walk in, and he'd just go on about Ayn Rand and Fountainhead and all these books he's just read and how great it is. And he all of a sudden he gets this attitude. But then when two or three people start asking him questions about it, well, I'm not a blind follower. I'm not about, okay, that's great. But, you're going on. You're on this diatribe about how great it is. But as soon as more than one person questions you on it, you cave. It's the same thing with the W. When we asked him about the bumper sticker and the W and Cheney and he voted for him, well, they're all the same. Well, they can't be all the same if you voted for them.
Right.
And, special ed did the same shit.
It's a bunch of shit. It's with people.
I mean, if you're gonna stand up for a candidate, look at this guy, Ron Paul. Recently, there was a question asked by Chris Matthews. I don't have the audio, but the question was, will you go to Congress for approval to attack Iran?
Right, and Mitt Romney said, well, I'll have to discuss it with my lawyers.
So did Giuliani.
Giuliani said that? Giuliani's a piece of shit.
He's a worthless cocksmoker. But then you got Ron Paul. He comes up and he says, and I like this guy. I really dig him. He says, what are you talking about? Why don't you look at the Constitution? Open up the Constitution and read the Constitution. That'll tell you exactly what to do. I mean, it is basically cut and dry when it comes to the federal government. The Constitution is the law of the land.
Right on.
You don't have anything else to do there. State legislation, I like that idea. In the past, I was like, maybe more federal government. Fuck that. Fuck the federal government. They're completely fucked up. I think state government is the way to go.
Right on.
But I don't want to have a passport to go to Indiana.
No.
I don't want that to be so fucked up that we're like the European Union, which is not
so
bad.
We already got a goddamn passport.
Anyway,
what else you got?
That's my two cents.
I brought some clips in.
You did.
What did I bring in?
You got
The W.
Opportunity Employment.
The W. Yeah, the W is talking about economy here. I don't know where the fuck he is.
And get the fuck out.
How can this guy even draw a crowd when he talks? Who wants to go see this imbecile? Does he still have any type of approval at all in this country?
No, none.
It's unbelievable.
The approval rating, I think, is 7.
And the guy says when he retires, he's going to go on speaking engagements? Like, okay, Bill Clinton can... can put a sentence together. What is the W going to possibly say? What can he possibly say that people would pay for? It's unbelievable. Go ahead and play the latest W stupidity.
Latest W stupidity.
Expansion of this business has provided people new opportunity employments, new employment opportunities here in Lancaster County. When you give a man more money in his pocket, or in this case a woman more money in her pocket to expand a business... It means they build new buildings. And when somebody builds a new building, somebody's got to come and build a building. And when the building expanded, it prevented additional opportunities for people to work. Tax cuts matter.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
Kind of stepped on him there, John. He said when people build new buildings, it prevents people. He didn't mean to say prevent, but prevent got the...
I'm sorry.
That's what's known as like a, it's as really a Bushism.
Bushism.
A Bushism.
Like, hearing it, I stepped on it because hearing it more and more is just... This is worldwide. At some point, I got to step on some of the shit that W says because it's embarrassing enough. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I hear that.
It's embarrassing enough that this fucking chimp is in office here.
One thing God we didn't mention is Al Gore won the Nobel Peace Prize. Peace fries?
Peace fries. Peace fries. That's part of the Happy Meal at
McDonald's.
Can
somebody tell me why he won? I mean, I don't have anything against Al Gore, but
I don't either. But
why
I couldn't
did he
understand
win the Peace
either.
Prize?
For opening people's eyes to global warming, I guess.
And what does that have to do with peace, John?
I don't know at all.
I read somewhere.
Don't tell me General Petraeus, though.
Oh yeah,
get
I saw
the
that.
Nobel Priest Priest Prize.
Priest Prize. yeah, some a-hole was on some show saying that it should have been Petraeus. But I read somewhere now, hypothetically, John, if global warming is real and climate change does occur,
well, it does. But the whole thing is. With Gore and this documentary, it's basically it's a human. Humans are causing the global
humans. It doesn't. Well, in the case of awarding this prize, it doesn't matter if it's humans or whatever. Al Gore is pointing out that global warming is occurring now. If it really is occurring, hypothetically. When one area is in a drought because of global warming and they need to move into another area, a war will start. And then, so Al Gore making a movie will prevent these wars. Is that the logic?
I don't know.
I mean,
man.
It's insane. It's retarded.
Why don't you email the Nobel people?
I guess there's five of them, but how did Al Gore even get nominated?
I don't know.
I just don't understand it, John.
I don't know.
You know what it gives me?
Arafat
hope?
Got Nobel Peace Prize.
Right. Arafat, a fucking terrorist. How does that happen? Might as well give it to Petraeus. Let's give it to the W for preemptive strike.
I think that's the point of a lot of right-wingers is like it's lost all credibility. Because it really, what is it? What does it mean? Because it disagrees with, these evangelical right wingers.
Even the jellicles?
I don't know. Even the jellicles. I don't know.
I don't know what it means either.
I don't know.
But you know what it
really
does?
Care.
It gives me hope that a John and Scott can
get
lasso.
The Nobel Peace Prize.
A Nobel Peace Prize.
No doubt.
We
got to
figure out
we
how
can put
we
that
can...
under a bell. your Pulitzer, and our
we were
Nobel
nominated, Peer. But we lost the podcast
right,
peer awards.
The podcast
but
for production,
we are Nobel literates, John.
That's right. That's right. I didn't.
If
get
anybody,
that
it
thing.
Should be Punky for uniting bands and fans across the
lands. Right.
Right on. That's, why don't we nominate them next year?
That's a great idea
for the Nobel.
For the Nobel.
If Al Gore can get it.
Al Gore.
Crying out loud. For crying out loud.
I do have some other political shit.
What do
you
got?
Want to hear this?
Sure, why not?
What should I read first?
Is your Arcos going to hold out?
Yeah.
Can it record over 3 hours continuous? Sure.
3 hours? We're not even close. How many? We want to know the time? Oh, yeah. We're at 1:39. Should we... close it up?
No, man. What else he got? Because I got one more thing.
I just got this came out of
Phil
Associated
wanted to come
Press.
Over too, but I don't know. If
well, we could see if Phil's out in the lot.
Right.
You want to see if he's out there? We could cover this shit anytime that I got.
All right.
Is he out there?
I don't know.
Take a look out the window.
I'm not getting up. We don't have any windows.
On,
they're
me,
boarded up.
Take a look. No, I got a peephole. Let me take a look. Yeah, he's out there.
I'm singing along with the light.
All right, you want me to go get the door?
He's getting out of his car. Let me signal with the light. There he comes.
Oh, there
he's here.
All right, hold on. Let me get the door.
Dude, go get the door.
All right. Right.
All right.
Let me take my headphone. My can's off. My head over there.
Got one more story. Hurry up. Hey, what's up, man? Come on back. Lockstep.
All right, I'm back. While Phil's getting ready, I got one quick story. A draft of President Bush's speech to the UN General Assembly was accidentally placed on a UN website and included the phonetic spellings the president uses to battle through tricky names and words. Did you
get that? Phonetic?
Right, so when they write a speech for the W, it's
Munkey, M-U-N-K-E-E.
It's all written in phonetic spelling. For example,
the Moolahs, M-O-O-L-A-Z.
Leaders like Sarkozy, and you can't see it, but it's phonetically spelled. Mugabe. Mauritania and such. When asked if Bush had trouble with these pronunciations, White House Press Secretary Dana Perino dismissed the question as offensive.
We shouldn't laugh. We probably need phonetic spelling for us.
Pet anus. No, we just need some sort of dyslexic.
Dyslexic meter.
Dyslexic pedal. You know,
dyslexometer.
Correct our dyslexations.
Dyslexations.
Yeah, all right. So still ready? Next. Whenever you're ready, turn it over.
What about this politics? Get the fuck out of here.
Can you say a little bit more about the
Democrats? Stop it. Yeah, so this, I don't know, this is some New York guy from New York. So this woman goes in and she's going to pull a Sacha Baron Cohen on this guy. She's going to do an Ollie G on him, but she's... some other woman, but it's the same premise, right? So she asks him, she go ahead and ask him questions, but he doesn't put up with any of this shit. So go ahead and play this.
Can you say a little bit more about the Democrats? Do you really think that Hillary stands a chance after that embarrassing incident with the cigar?
Hey, Chris? What the fuck do you have me in with these fucking people? Tell these fucking people out of my office.
I will explain for you all.
Well, get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of my office. Get out of my office. What is this nonsense?
Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here. Get out of my office. Get out of my office. Hillary Clinton cigar, Barack Obama. Get the fuck out of my office. What is this? Is it not that time to waste this bullshit? Get out of my office before I throw you the fuck out of my office and I take your cameras and I throw them out the fucking window. Alright? I don't know what kind of fucking game you're playing, but that's not the game I fucking play. Alright? You're gonna answer that little fucking play that I said, get the fuck out of my office before I beat the fucking shit out of you right now. Get your shit, get the fuck out of my office.
Don't tase me, bro! What the fuck is that?
The first question she asked him was about Barack Obama and how could he run for president? He's not even a citizen. And he's like, well, no, he's a citizen. And the second question, you can't really understand her. She's got an accent, but she asked about, do you think Hillary Clinton likes cigars or some shit like that?
Oh, my God.
And he lost
it. But who was the guy?
Who was the guy? He's a guy from New York, and he's some state representative from New York. I can't remember his name, and I forgot to write it down.
That's great, man. That's what I want a politician to say. I want a politician to snap, man.
Right. Don't waste my time.
Tell it like it is. Fuck you.
What do you think that guy would have said about mandatory silence at the beginning of school?
What? Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here,
I don't know what fucking game you're playing. But I don't play that fucking game.
Bitch. Get the fuck out of here, you
psychopathic bitch.
All right. Is Phil ready? Is he got his shit together?
Of course, I'm always ready. Jonas, nice to hear your voice again coming through the cans. It's good to see you, Scott.
That's out of sight.
I brought a clip in myself, John.
You did.
Yes. While I was away on the hiatus, I got a job producing remote news broadcasts. And I managed to record this little tidbit out on location with one of my... Actually, this is an old friend of mine that got me the job. Unfortunately, he was fired right after this incident, and I also lost my job. But go ahead and play this clip.
I'm looking for the clip. This is, I'm not sure.
It starts out with Phil. Phil is the first. Phil, and then newscaster is in the
there
title.
There is no Phil.
Phil newscaster.
Excuse me, I don't know what you're saying.
Oh!
What week is it from?
It is, I just gave it to you.
You did not.
Right when I walked in the door, it was on the iPod that I gave you. If you look on the iPod, it'll be there.
You had me delete that one.
I
actually
did not have you delete that one. Of course I did not. I deleted another one. Not that one. That one is gold, John. I would not have you delete gold.
Okay.
It is on the iPod. It starts with Phil.
It's on.
Yes. What would you like to know?
There you go.
I'd like to know a response to what the gentleman said.
I'm sorry. Could you stop it? I need to give some more background information. So what happened is I'm out on remote producing this news clip.
All right, then.
I'm out producing this news clip. And what had happened is that we had wrapped up. I told him, okay, I gave him the cut side. We're good to go. But the man behind the desk wanted some more information. And he pressed my guy for some more information. And that's where things got bad.
I like the hand gestures you're using here in the studio, Phil.
Right on. It's good to see you, Scott.
Yeah, that's right.
Could you give me some water?
All right. We're playing this now.
Yes, go ahead.
Right. Heard you.
Yes.
What would you like to know?
I'd like to know a response to what the gentleman said. The gentleman's a very effective spokesperson for the company, but obviously the people who live there are not satisfied with his explanation.
Right. So what do you want now?
Well, if I have to teach you how to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do that later.
Why don't you do that later, Jim? I think the lady expressed herself, and you're not here, you're there. Is there any question you'd like me to ask her?
No, I'll give you lessons on how to become a reporter later.
I'll give you some lessons on how to be an editor, because I was your boss once.
Yeah, you were, and are no longer. How did that happen?
Well, I don't
know. Here's Aaron Bildermillo.
She heard you.
Yes.
What would you like to know?
I'd like to know a response.
Whoa! That's so interesting. I'll play it again.
It was. It was very
but
tense moment for
go,
me.
Before you go, can we introduce you?
Introduce me.
Yes.
Of course.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. Our first story tonight. Police temporarily confused. Police temporarily confused when arresting armless man. Not sure how to cuff. Police are investigating the death of a man who collapsed after he was headbutted by an armless man in a fight over a woman. Shelbyville Police Chief Roy Whitehead said the two men, Charles Keith Teer and William Russell Redfern, scuffled Monday afternoon in a driveway of a suburban Atlanta home. Police say Redfern, who was born with no right arm and only a short stump for his left arm, kicked Tier. And Tier hit Redfern during the fight, which was due to a long-standing bad blood over a woman who once dated Tier and now dates Redfern. After bystanders separated them, Redfern came back and headbutted Tier one time. Tier complained of feeling dizzy, collapsed, and died. Known by the nickname Rusty, Redfern made a name for himself in the late 80s for pen and ink drawings he does using his foot. No word on what's going to happen to him now. Next story, John. Oh! Man shakes cocaine out of his ass for cops. Adds new meaning to the term crack cocaine. Next story, John. Shouting, this is YouTube material! A 27-year-old British man urinated on a dying woman who had collapsed on the street. He also doubts, this is not funny, John.
He also doused her with a bucket of water and covered her with shaving cream. The woman, 50-year-old Christina Lekansky, died at the scene of pancreatic failure. He had smoked a joint and been drinking with two friends. Next story, John. Nation's largest cock busted. No, hold on. Wait a minute. Nation's largest cock ring busted.
One of the biggest cocks on the planet.
Hold on. Let's try it one more time. Nation's largest cock fighting ring busted. More than 5,000 birds were seized and 50 people were arrested in what's being called, page two, the largest cock fighting raid in the U.S. history, authorities announced yesterday. Several law enforcement agencies participated in a raid at several locations Saturday in South Carolina. The largest of the raids was a 7-acre compound near the border where 4,000 birds, including roosters, hens, and chicks, were found. Next story, John.
I might be one of the biggest cocks on the planet.
Ken Burns. Ken Burns, WW2. World War II, John. Epic has dirty words. Threat of FCC fines leads some PBS execs into censor mode. And I'll tell you this, John. War is heck. Next story. This is a PSA. A PSA. Public service announcement.
Public suck announcement.
When at Victoria's Secret. When at Victoria's Secret. When at Victoria's Secret. It is illegal to ask a teenage girl to model a bra for you. A man faces prison time on charges of enticing a minor. Doug Ubi was convicted Wednesday afternoon in a Madison County courtroom. Investigators say he approached a teenage girl in Victoria's Secret at Madison Square Mall and asked her to model a bra for him. The incident happened in March 2006 and a buoy faces up to 10 years in prison. Next story, John. Man hands Walmart cashier a note saying that he's armed and intends to rob the store. Later says it was just a joke. Unfortunately, the punchline to this joke is ass rape. Next story, John.
Cocksucker!
I pledge allegiance to the urine-stained hydrant.
Oh.
A fire hydrant painted as an American flag was removed from a dog park after complaints it was disrespectful to dogs. Use it for what dogs do. The new leash-free park was named for Hondo, a police dog killed 10 years ago chasing a suspect. And the flag-painted hydrant was intended as a tribute to him. We put a lot of effort into it, said artist Jason Ross. However, after a photo of the hydrant appeared suddenly in the Oregon newspaper, emails started arriving at the department. The galleon dog must be turning in his grave at the thought of the flag being desecrated. Every time a dog pees on that hydrant, wrote Luann Doris, a retired U.S. Foreign Service officer. Next story, John.
Fucking cock-ass!
Judge allows students to wear Hitler Youth buttons to protest school uniform policy. Excuse me.
You fucking dick!
Preston buttons unavailable for comment. Next story, John. Woman has sex with a man she says she thought was her husband, but then accuses him of rape when her husband catches them together. A Malaysian woman who had sex with a house guest says she mistakenly thought the man was her husband and has filed a complaint that she was raped.
You don't give a shit!
The 40-year-old housewife in Eastern Terengganu alleged that her husband was away at work and she went to bed. An hour later, she claimed a man whom she thought was her husband snuggled into bed and that they had sex, although she didn't see his face. She only realized her mistake when her husband returned and asked her about seeing the guest, who is his colleague, leaving her room. The couple later lodged a complaint with police that she was raped. And the police are a little bit suspicious of the claims, John. Next and last story.
It's where you fucking lay down flat on the ground, and then you let your boner lift you up off the ground.
Whoa.
The town of Aspen, Colorado.
I didn't win this year either.
The town of Aspen, Colorado, John.
Aslin? Did you say Aslin?
Aspen, Colorado exhumes John Denver. And
what?
Picks his bones clean for tourist dollars.
What's his song that he used to sing?
In related news.
If I Were a Country Boy.
John Denver died?
Oh.
I didn't know that. And that's the news.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott. It's great to be back.
All right, thanks for coming. Phil McCracken.
It's my pleasure.
With come.
I can't wait, get away to I can't get wait to get back to the three-parters. Are we going to do three-parters?
Yes.
Frankly, I'm a little tired of the ad hocs.
Yeah,
and
me
this
too.
Scheduling is it's not good for me.
Scheduling.
Because I have a single man, and yes, I have other priorities.
You are a single man.
That is right.
All right. Thanks for coming.
All right, Doug.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, you too. Take care.
Right on.
Oh, kiss my ass. All right.
Whoa, me!
Well, it's good to have Phil back. I haven't seen him in months.
It's been a long time.
No doubt.
Long time, John.
No doubt. Did I tell you I saw a movie?
No. What movie did you see?
I saw it today, actually. I didn't go to work today.
You didn't?
No.
Nice.
My son has some medical procedure.
Did you take your son?
No. No. He was playing a new video game, and I was watching the movie.
Hold it. So he was playing at home and you went to the movie theater?
No.
Oh, you saw it at home.
This is a movie I saw years ago.
Years ago.
I recommend this to everybody. Well, not everybody. Anybody who likes really cool muscle cars. All right? Muscle cars, okay?
I guess that would not be everybody.
Not everybody.
Everybody doesn't like.
Well, you know, the old 57 Chevy, fully blown.
Blown.
You know what I'm saying?
Right on.
Fully blown.
And what is this movie?
Have you ever seen the movie The Hollywood Nights?
I have never seen The Hollywood
Nights. It is a funny fucking movie.
Who's in it?
Robert Wool.
I hate Robert Wool.
Okay.
Is he the guy who was Arliss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert Wool, Michelle Pfeiffer, Stuart Penkin. Tony Danza is
Tony
in the
Danza.
Movie.
Is this like an American Graffiti ripoff?
Fran Drescher. Yeah, it's very similar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They like piss in the punch and all this shit. And anyways, it's like 1965. It's Halloween. Tubby's Drive-In is going to close. They're going to put in like a fucking office building. And I totally forgot about this movie. But it's very in the line, it's very much in the line of Animal House and shit like that. I thought it was fucking great, especially where Robert Wool is about to bang Fran Drescher, and he jizzes himself as he's pulling his pants off.
Oh, so that was the highlight of the movie for
you. Yeah, but to hear Fran Drescher go, oh my God, did you come? Did you come? Over and over again. And he just says, yeah, I'm glad I came. Basically, I am glad I came. But he told two great jokes. I've told these jokes for years.
So we've probably already heard them.
No. What do you get when he cross a Bermuda onion with a donkey?
I don't know.
A piece of ass that'll bring tears to your eyes.
Yes, I have heard that one. Okay, right. Go ahead. What else?
You ever heard the one about the man with the five penises?
No.
His pants fit like a glove.
Yes, I have. I have heard that one.
Okay, yeah. So you have heard these jokes, which came from this movie. Robert Wool.
Robert Wool, for me, ruined the original Batman.
What did he play in that Batman?
He played the guy hitting on Vicky Vale, some reporter that
Vicky
she worked
Vale.
With.
Vicky Vale.
Just ruined the
oh,
movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He plays Newbom Turk in this movie, and he's pretty good. I think he's pretty funny in this movie. And other characters in this movie, there's a guy named Dudley who has to use a puffer to catch his breath because he's asthmatic.
What's Tony Danza? What does he play?
Well, Tony Danza plays
like
this really
guy.
He's got this really kick ass 57 Chevy that's fully blown, and it's banana yellow, and he's banging Michelle Pfeiffer, and Michelle Pfeiffer works for Tubby's Drive-In, and she wants to be she's an aspiring actress, and what's his name? Tony Danza and his older brother, who I think is like a legend in the Hollywood Nights. His older brother is going to Vietnam.
Oh, right, right.
And there's a kind of a little kind of a scene about him going to Vietnam, and he's really nervous about it. And they give him this really kick-ass car that they restored. So there's some really kick-ass cars in there, an AC Cobra. There's an old GTO in there. There's the 57 Chevy. There's a Woody. There's a rail job that they have in this movie. And some kick-ass cars, some kick-ass music, some pretty good comedy. I recommend The Hollywood Nights.
The Hollywood Nights.
1980 forgotten film by Floyd Muttrux.
And unlike Tony Danza's older brother, who went to Vietnam, you have chicken hawks like Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh.
Bill O'Reilly.
Pussy hawks, I like to call them.
Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent, the biggest faggot pussy. Cheney. I want to fight him. Let's fight all these
Darth
guys. You want to fight them?
Sure.
Let's do a death match with these pusses.
Speaking of Michelle Pfeiffer, John, I this week saw Scarface for the first time in
20
years. When's the last time you saw that movie?
Long time, man. She's pretty hot in those movies.
You got to see Scarface again because I love Scarface. And I love Scarface. I saw Scarface 10 times when it first came out. Not at the theater, but whenever the DVD came out. So 18 years ago, whenever it was. And I saw it for the first time because my wife had never seen this movie. So we watched it sometime this week, in two evenings it took, because it's a long movie. And the soundtrack is the worst soundtrack in the history of movies.
Isn't it, though?
It is so... The only good song that
Brian
I liked...
Brian De Palma.
...was Chicho. Get the
yayo.
Get the yayo. Other than that, it was for shit.
Yeah, especially when he's say hello to my little friend. And that whole... Bah, da, da, da,
yeah.
And they show the little... planet spinning around in his front foyer.
yeah. There's some great scenes in that movie. Great scenes. And
I recommend the edited version on WGN.
Oh, right.
How you get a scar like that on your face, Tony? I got a scar like this eating pie.
No, it's more like this. What the fuck? No,
yeah, not fuck WGN. On WGN.
What the frick is this guy talking about? Where I get a scar like this. You think I get this scar eating? Pie.
Pie. Yeah, pie. I like Frank, but I like you better.
That is one big pile of shit.
My favorite scene is when, after they try to hit Tony, and he shows up at the car dealer, and the cop is there, and Tony shows up.
Right.
That is my favorite scene.
Yeah.
So, this is occurring. My scene is occurring. And I say to the wife, it's my favorite scene. It's my favorite scene. DVD player starts fucking around.
Oh, no.
So now I got to get up. It's a brand new DVD. And,
what the fuck?
I can't even remember what the fuck I had to do.
You just slam it on the ground as hard as you can.
Oh, and then my DVD, maybe it's God. I don't know. I'm watching Braveheart with the wife. I haven't seen Braveheart in a while. And my favorite scene in Braveheart is when Longshanks gets back from France and he walks into the room with his son.
And the faggot brother, the son, yeah.
And the boyfriend starts to speak up. Well, we have fabulous plans for putting this William Wallace down. And he walks him over to the window and he tosses him out the window.
Yeah, right.
My favorite scene.
Great.
The same thing happened. The DVD player started to whack out on me. And in that case, we have two Braveheart DVDs. I had to like search for the other Braveheart DVD just to finish watching.
So wait a minute. And what's your favorite part in Blades of Glory?
Blades of Glory is when the female figure skater gets decapitated.
You are one twisted fuck, man. Oh, you know what movie I bought just recently, and I loaned it to Rick before I even watched it, was Death Proof.
Death Proof, Quentin Tarantino.
Didn't think it was that great. Rick loved it. He played it for all his friends. I didn't like all the dialogue in between, but what I did like was Fucking Kurt Russell. My wife's watching this scene with me. She just came down. Is that Kurt Russell? Yeah. And he's kind of like this geeky ex stuntman Mike. And he fucks some chick up. Right as my wife comes down, sees this little dialogue between this chick and some other chicks. And then stuntman Mike puts the chick in his death-proof automobile. And the side that she's got to sit on is like the steel seat that's encased by plexiglass. And then he just like slams on the brakes like 100 times till her face turns into hamburger. And my wife, oh yeah, that's nice.
What does he have against this chick?
Nothing. He's just mental. Oh. He's into scaring the shit out of broads. And then he like head-ons these other chicks that he meets in a bar, and they show the head-on crash like 4 times to show all 4 chicks getting their demise. You know, one chick gets the back tire across her face, another her foot, her leg from the thigh flies off. And then later on in the movie, he's fucking with some other chicks, with Rosario Dawson is the other chick. And I believe today, Grindhouse released the other movie, Planet Terror, which is probably better, the Rodriguez one.
That's what I heard, that Rodriguez one was better. So yeah. When are you going to loan this to me, and then we can have a discussion about it?
You got it.
I'll bring it
over tomorrow.
Nice.
Or Thursday.
Thursday. For practice.
But they fuck them up at the end, man. It's great. You got to see it.
Oh, that reminds me My wife is going out of town. She'll be out of town all next week.
Oh, here we go.
So I'm not available Sunday.
You're never available.
To be in the studio. But what I was thinking is what we could try on an ad hoc basis is maybe every night at 10 o'clock doing a half an hour.
Skype?
Like 5 nights in a row.
Wow.
To see if we can handle that.
Wow. Yeah.
See how that goes.
That'll be something. That'll be a treat for the fans.
Which we've been neglecting, John.
To be topical. Yeah. We've neglected the fans. We're sorry about that.
Right on.
Because I'm passionate about this. I have passion.
I don't.
Obviously.
I just enjoy doing it.
That's a,
I have passion about the unification of general theory of relativity.
No, you have passion about your stupid little class that you're going to every Wednesday night.
It's not stupid.
Some fucked up broad challenged you.
Oh, I showed him the Araby video.
You got a big mouth. You know, you just talk too much.
Half of the class liked it. Half of it were completely appalled.
Yeah, I could see why.
Why not?
Sophomoric.
Yeah. Well, the part where I pick up Phil and punch him 3 times.
Yeah.
Half of the class, which I've never gotten this reaction in a public viewing. Half of the class was like, oh, my God.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Are you serious? Nobody was laughing. Nobody got the total sarcasm.
Was laughing. Half of the class was in shock.
Well, you should take the shock people and punch them in the face each.
I think I did by showing them the video.
All right, well, that's all we got this week for Total Talk Nonsense.
How are we doing on time?
105. Let's see. We're exceeding 2 hours.
You know, we could exceed 3, but I have to get up early tomorrow.
No, no.
We could exceed 3.
No, no.
This comes so naturally to us, John.
Cum laude. Comes
all right,
so
then.
Natural.
Ad hoc 105.
105. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And thanks for listening. We'll be back shortly with another podcast.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.